one of the world's largest IPOs this year. Indonesian tech unicorn GoTo made a strong debut in Jakarta, closing 13% higher after jumping as much as 23%.
GoTo is Indonesia's version of Amazon and Uber. GoTo was hailed as Indonesia's decacorn, Indonesia's pride. But within just 8 months, its share price fell by 80%.
This is the tale of GoTo, Indonesia's most valuable tech startup, a powerhouse contributing to over 2% of the nation's GDP. In the late 2000s, William Tanuwijaya was gearing up for a crucial moment. He had a significant pitch on the horizon. At first glance, William didn't fit the mold of a typical entrepreneur. Introverted and somewhat unassuming, he came across as someone more suited to running an internet cafe in obscurity.
Which, coincidentally, was precisely what he was doing.
His background was unremarkable, with no notable entrepreneurial achievements to his name. His family, even more so, and they lacked any distinctive traits that would hint at a predisposition for business success.
And yet, here he was, seeking investment for a venture into technology, a pioneering move in Indonesia's business landscape. You see, Indonesia, on paper, offered fertile ground for investment. The nation boasted affluent families like the Hartonos, known for their tobacco empire, the Pangestus, with their stake in petrochemicals, and the Lows, proprietors of a coal mining operation. To any of these families, dropping $100,000 is at most a rounding error.
Despite this, no one seemed to respond to William. Potential investors either overlooked him due to his unexceptional background or simply couldn't grasp the future value of the e-commerce sector.
Which, by the way, is worth $62 billion today. And after a relentless series of rejections, a glimmer of hope emerged. One undisclosed investor expressed interest.
All right, let's meet. I'm intrigued to hear what you have to propose.
William laid out his vision with earnest simplicity. He proposed an e-commerce platform, a digital marketplace where Indonesians could buy and sell with ease. The potential seemed glaringly apparent to him. Given Indonesia's soaring internet usage and its youthful tech-savvy population, the stage was set for a digital revolution. As William elaborated on his idea, it wasn't hard to imagine the investors' gears turning, recognizing the untapped opportunity in the burgeoning market. Yet, as the conversation unfolded, it became increasingly clear that the investor saw the potential, just not with William. Listening intently, the investor finally spoke up.
William, isn't it? Yes, but as I was mentioning, the opportunity is huge.
Yeah, it does seem huge.
If you look to the West, the digital wave has reshaped them. Look at Larry Page, Jeff Bezos. This is our chance.
But those pioneers hailed from Stanford and Princeton. And you?
I'm not sure what you mean.
What came next would redefine William's path. The investor's words, though blunt, sparked a fire within him, unveiling what William would later describe as his life's purpose.
William, youth is fleeting. Perhaps you should aim for something more within reach. You're chasing a Silicon Valley fantasy. Icons like Larry Page, Sergey Brin, Steve Jobs. They're exceptional. You, I'm afraid, are not.
At that moment, everything clicked for William Tanuwijaya. His resolve didn't just solidify. It ignited. His vision extended beyond a mere platform. He aimed to establish a digital marketplace built on trust, empowering Indonesians across all 18,000 islands to start and grow their businesses from any location. His life's purpose would manifest into an e-commerce company named Tokopedia, becoming the most valuable e-commerce company in Indonesia. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 1 of a 5-part series. We are not afraid.
Tokopedia combines the Indonesian word toko, meaning shop, with the English word encyclopedia to symbolize a comprehensive marketplace. This name reflects the platform's goal to offer a broad spectrum of goods and services, much like a shopping encyclopedia. Internationally, Tokopedia is often dubbed the Amazon of Indonesia, highlighting its vast reach and impact.
On May 17, 2021, Tokopedia took a significant leap forward by merging with Gojek, a canon event in Indonesia's technology history. Gojek, akin to the Uber of Indonesia, brought its expansive service model into this merger. The fusion of these two giants birthed GoTo, a colossal entity that redefines the digital marketplace for Indonesia.
If that sounds difficult to wrap your head around, think of it this way. GoTo has essentially become what would happen if Amazon decided to forgo its traditional fulfillment centers in favor of developing a widespread delivery network, mirroring Uber's reach. This strategic shift is what sets the GoTo empire apart, enabling its e-commerce offerings to penetrate across Indonesia, achieving coverage for 99% of the population, including those in remote areas accessible only by waterways.
The merger brought together two distinct corporate cultures and founding teams. Gojek's founders were known for their fluent English and international demeanor.
Contrast this with Tokopedia's founders, who proudly carried their Indonesian heritage in their accents and style. Tokopedia's William Tanuwijaya once playfully referred to Gojek's founders as bule, a term for foreigners, underscoring the cultural nuances within this partnership.
Despite these differences, a shared vision to transform and uplift Indonesia bridged the gap, culminating in the creation of GoTo.
It's worth noting that while we use such simple one-liners to categorize the companies, like the Uber or Amazon of Indonesia, both sets of founders actively avoid simplifying their companies. As we begin to dig down from the surface, we understand why. The combination of Gojek and Tokopedia to GoTo is an entirely different beast altogether.
It's definitely a beast, and it's a big one. GoTo's footprint in Indonesia is colossal. As of 2022, the platform boasts nearly 64 million annual transacting users, 3 million drivers, and 18 million merchants, and its valuation peaked at an impressive $33 billion.
To put this in perspective, consider the domestic markets of Uber and Amazon. Uber operates with around 1.5 million drivers,
which is half of GoTo's 3 million,
while Amazon collaborates with approximately 5 million merchants across the United States.
That's less than a third of GoTo's 18.
The strategic differences in domestic influence are thus deliberate. While global giants like Uber and Amazon pursue international expansion, GoTo has chosen to concentrate its efforts within Indonesia.
This focus is reflected in GoTo's significant contribution to the Indonesian GDP, an impressive 2.2%, mirroring Walmart's impact on the American economy. This strategic divergence is what sets GoTo apart, making it a unique player in the digital marketplace, far beyond the surface-level comparisons to Uber and Amazon.
In terms of structure, GoTo's ecosystem encompasses approximately 30 different services, organized into three main pillars, each contributing to its multifaceted business model. The first pillar focuses on on-demand services, primarily through the Gojek platform. This service connects driver partners, merchants, and consumers for a variety of needs, including transportation, delivery, and the purchase of food and groceries. Remarkably, on-demand services account for 57% of GoTo's total revenue, highlighting their importance to the company's success.
E-commerce constitutes the second pillar, largely driven by Tokopedia's platform. This segment bridges consumers with a wide array of merchants, ranging from local startups to international brands, creating a vibrant online marketplace. E-commerce contributes 36% to GoTo's revenue, showcasing its pivotal role in Indonesia's digital commerce landscape.
And the final 7% of revenue stems from the financial technology sector. This area merges the previously separate financial services of Gojek and Tokopedia into a comprehensive suite of financial solutions. These include e-money, lending services, payment gateways, and point-of-sale software for merchants, like your MasterCard or Visa payment machines.
Collectively, these three pillars forge a technology empire in GoTo, combining the expansive marketplace of Amazon, the convenient payment solutions of PayPal, and a distributed delivery fleet like Uber.
In combination, you get an unparalleled end-to-end e-commerce powerhouse, which commands gross revenues of nearly 23 trillion rupiahs, or 2 billion US dollars.
Central to its success is GoTo's deep integration within its home market, Indonesia, a nation with a population of 270 million, ranking as the fourth most populous country globally. The company's reach extends from partnerships with public railway services to collaborations with Indonesia's tourism board, making GoTo an indispensable part of the Indonesian daily experience. Its strategic support for government-led initiatives not only strengthens its position locally, but it also showcases a nuanced understanding of leveraging home ground advantages. In fact, one of the founders of Gojek, Nadiem Makarim, is Indonesia's current Minister of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
And if you think that seems like a very unique and specific title, you're not alone. The truth is, this role is the first of its kind, and it was created by Indonesian President Joko Widodo.
While this development has sparked rumors and speculation, none of it can discount the extraordinary journey of GoTo and its foundational components, Gojek and Tokopedia, which have been pivotal in Indonesia's tech revolution over the last decade. Tokopedia's saga, in particular, commenced a year before Gojek's, led by William Tanuwijaya, a man who, back then, seemed foolish enough to dream.
Born on the 11th of November, 1981, William Tanuwijaya wasn't always Indonesia's godfather for modern startups. He was raised in Pematang Siantar, North Sumatra, an area known more for its agricultural landscape, batik fabrics, and traditional Chinese cuisine than for fostering technological aspirations.
But from a young age, William exhibited interests that diverged significantly from those of his peers. In a region where the nearest bookstore was a three-hour journey away, William developed a passion for reading, eagerly awaiting visits from his uncle who would bring him books.
Recognizing William's potential, his father and uncle envisioned a different life for him, one not constrained by the agricultural bounds of North Sumatra. With just enough money scraped together for a one-way boat ticket, they sent the 16-year-old on a grueling 4-day and 3-night journey from Belawan Port to Jakarta.
Details about his initial years in Jakarta are sparse, but it is believed that his family provided some support during this period.
Jakarta presented William with a stark contrast to his hometown. Here, he was liberated from the limitations of access to knowledge and resources. This exposure to a world of possibilities planted the seeds for Tokopedia. a platform designed to make goods accessible to everyone, including his friends back in Siantar.
William eventually made his way into a private university in Jakarta to study computer science, where he first encountered the internet. This experience would significantly influence his future path.
However, around his second year of university, a family crisis struck. His father fell ill, and the financial support William had relied on evaporated. Suddenly, he was responsible for all his expenses, including tuition fees. In need of income, William found work as an internet cafe operator, despite the daunting hours from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. And though the schedule was harsh, the job paid enough to meet his needs, leaving him with no choice but to accept.
In retrospect, the unconventional working hours were serendipitous for William. The quiet of the night meant fewer customers and fewer distractions, offering him the luxury of time, a rare commodity he used to explore the vast realms of the internet. This period of self-directed learning was so transformative that William jokes about having graduated from the Internet Cafe University.
And on this campus, his fascination with technology continued to deepen, and he yearned to work for the Silicon Valley giants like Google and Amazon. But at that time, Indonesia wasn't recognized for its potential as it is today.
Now, investors from across Asia and beyond are keenly aware of the country's demographic and economic promise. As the world's fourth most populous nation, boasting a median age below 30, Indonesia is viewed as a market brimming with opportunity, a vibrant, youthful workforce eager for innovation.
But back in William's early days, the prevailing view of Indonesia was less favorable, often overshadowed by perceptions of its authoritarian regime, making it appear too precarious for foreign investment. It would be another half a decade before American tech behemoths began to look towards Indonesia.
Undeterred, William continued to work various jobs, all the while immersing himself in the digital world. It was during one of these deep web explorations that he stumbled upon alarming news. Jakarta was sinking. The capital, swollen by the influx of families like his own, was sinking at an alarming rate of about 10 centimeters annually. In this moment of insight, William realized he was part of the urban migration, but he also looked beyond it. The appeal of Jakarta was unmistakable, providing unmatched access to resources, information, and opportunities. And this sparked two fundamental questions for William that would change Indonesia forever.
First, what if geography no longer dictated who could access certain products or services?
Second, what if merchants could reach customers across the nation without ever having to relocate their businesses?
It was with this vision that William reached out to Leontinus Alpha Edison, better known as Leon, who would later become the technical founder of Tokopedia.
Despite Leon's tendency to keep a low profile, his role in Tokopedia's story is undeniable. Coming from West Kalimantan, a region far removed from the technological hubs of Indonesia, Leon immediately understood the potential impact of William's idea. The problem was clear. Indonesia's vast landscape and dispersed population meant that access to goods and services was uneven, favoring those in urban areas like Jakarta. William and Leon envisioned a platform that could bridge this divide, empowering sellers and buyers no matter their location. Their plan was ambitious and required capital to take off. William, familiar with the narratives of Silicon Valley's ventures, believed that securing investment was a challenging but achievable goal.
However, he would soon discover that the landscape of funding in Indonesia presented its own unique set of hurdles. The path ahead for Tokopedia was not going to be as straightforward as he had initially hoped. It's late 2007, and the air is buzzing with excitement.
William Tanuwijaya and his friend are on the brink of something big. As they huddle over their plans, the first hurdle looms: finding the perfect name.
Belanjaman.com emerges as their initial choice, blending the Indonesian words for shopping and safe. It's a direct nod to the era's common apprehension towards online transactions, promising a secure experience with its joint account system.
Yet, as the name hangs in the air, it feels too narrow, too safe. It doesn't quite capture the grandeur of their vision.
So they continue brainstorming. Kopaja.com enters the scene, shorthand for Toko Apa Saja, translating to anything store.
It's catchy, but it feels like a double-edged sword, potentially shackling their ambitions to Indonesia alone.
In a moment of inspiration, likely fueled by countless hours lost in the pages of encyclopedias, William suggests marrying the word shop, toko, with the word encyclopedia.
What about Tokopedia?
It was a eureka moment, a marketplace that aspires to be as vast and informative as an encyclopedia itself.
Tokopedia it is.
They agree, a name that encapsulates their boundless ambitions. With the name locked in, William mapped out the next steps for Tokopedia. The plans seemed straightforward: secure venture capital funding.
However, he was soon faced with a harsh truth. He wasn't connected to the moneyed elite who had the resources necessary to kickstart this venture. Come to think of it, the only affluent person he knew was his boss.
Thankfully, his boss did agree to help him, and with a wider network, William finally managed to schedule a series of meetings with potential investors. But as he met them one by one, he was faced with a barrage of tough questions, each one more challenging than the last.
William, can you name one person in Indonesia who's become rich because of technology or the internet?
Well, there's none in Indonesia for now.
William, let's say we go with you, but 2 years later, eBay, Rakuten, and Alibaba come into Indonesia. Can you compete with them?
So, we've got the local experience. I'm sure there's a way to appeal to Indonesians better.
William, come clean with me. What's your family background? Which university did you graduate from? What entrepreneurial experience did you have before this?
At the end of all his pitches, William realized that in Indonesia, because there were no successful internet companies, there was little evidence that one could succeed. The prevailing theory instead was that most who tried must have failed.
Returning home exasperated, he reflected deeply on the unfairness of the situation. That his past seemed like a shackle to his future. His lack of prestige and accreditation from key institutions had left it impossible for any trust to be built. One investor even openly explained that there was nothing special about him. Nothing at all.
But William decided to dig deeper in himself. If he wasn't special, so be it. What's there to lose if you are simply ordinary? In the future, William would call these harsh comments pivotal to building his resilience, because had he not experienced it from the start, he might not have been able to soldier on for another harrowing 2 years. Then in 2009, a miracle happened. By sheer grit, William had convinced PT Indonesia Duitama, an investment company, to invest 2.5 billion rupiah, translating to about 160,000 US dollars into Tokopedia's vision.
You might wonder, why, out of all the investors, did PT Indonesia Duitama take a chance on them? According to the rumors, it's believed that the boss of the fund had a working relationship with William before. Getting the funding in an embryonic Indonesia startup scene was, as William foresaw, more based on relationship than anything else.
But of course, we can never discount the grit, which now had become supercharged with fresh funds. Very quickly, they assembled the Tokopedia website. From there, they dispatched a team to rally merchants onto the platform. In total, they managed to gather around 70 merchants.
But even as these pieces of Tokopedia came together, there was one glaring problem. How could he get people to buy anything on the platform if they didn't trust it?
Around this time, there was already a small marketplace culture forming. Called the classified ads model, it used forums, social networks, and blogs for online buying and selling. And this model worked pretty well for Indonesians looking to clear their wardrobes.
However, for serious sellers, this model lacked scalability. And on top of that, there was no reliable payment system. So transactions were risky for both buyers and sellers.
Tokopedia decided to address this challenge by taking a page from Alipay's playbook. Like them, Tokopedia opted to hold payments until buyers confirmed receipt of the goods purchased.
By the way, if you want to learn more about that story, you can check out our series on Alibaba from last season. But getting back on topic, solving for security was only one piece of the pie. In an almost meta way, the users must also trust that their security system would work, which was, in itself, a whole other problem.
What Tokopedia needed was a catalyst, a call to action, a movement that would draw users onto their platform.
On the 17th of July, 2009, from 7:47 to 7:57 in the morning, JW Marriott and the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Setiabudi, South Jakarta, came under attack. Spaced just 5 minutes apart, two separate suicide bombers detonated their explosive devices, killing a total of 9 people and injuring 50 others in the process.
Bombs exploded in American hotels, killing 9 people. ABC's Clarissa
Ward is in the
capital.
Good morning, Bill. Police today are combing through the wreckage of yesterday's devastating attacks. They're looking for DNA evidence, and they're trying to put together a picture of what exactly happened yesterday and who may be responsible.
Indonesia's president is vowing to hunt down the terrorists responsible for those bomb attacks at 2 hotels. The explosions at the JW Marriott and the Ritz-Carlton in Jakarta killed at least 9 people.
Just a day later, the hashtag Kami Tida Takut started trending, with at least 100,000 people using it a day. The phrase, meaning we are not afraid, became an anthem of defiance, a call to action for people to live their lives bravely. Because if they didn't, the bombers would have succeeded in their mission.
Many apparel makers at this time decided to support the movement, turning it from online to offline, offering t-shirts with the Indonesian phrase printed prominently. This movement held its ground for well over a month, surging on the 17th of August, 2009, Indonesia's Independence Day, where people encouraged each other to wear the shirt if they had one. It was the perfect movement for Tokopedia, and they launched at midnight on the 17th of August with 20 merchants selling the shirt, all hoping to lend their support. 10 minutes, nothing happened. 11 minutes. The team immediately jumped up. At the 12-minute mark, a t-shirt with the phrase was sold. William and his team likely celebrated, fully convinced that Indonesia's Independence Day gave them the boost they needed to finally succeed. And for the most part, they were right. Their success would draw in more investors than ever before, but not without bringing in competition. From 1UP Media, this is Empires. Episode 1 of a 5-part series, We are not afraid. Next in Empires, witness how Indonesia's e-commerce scene quickly transforms into a battleground as Tokopedia races to get ahead. Follow us so you won't miss out on episode 2 of our 5-part series, 3 Proposals.
Empires is a 1UP Media original, produced and written by Guang Jin, edited by Alex, audio experience by Ethan Sam, additional engineering by Ashley from 1UP Media, and narrated by Luis Cruz and Claire Bernal. International research by Sonia, Kuyet, and Jiamin from 1UP Media. A quick word on our reenactments and dramatizations. While we can't know exactly what they say, think, or feel at the moment, it is all based on research. Thank you for listening.